Welcome, everyone. My name is Heather Dreeves. I'm the Director of Funding here at Secured Investment Corps, and you guys have joined our first Impact Investment Podcast. We're super excited to be here. I'm here with my colleague, Eric Bergman,
Absolutely.
Who is Investor Relations for the company. So we're excited to be here. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about a little bit about our company, what's going on in the current markets, and opportunities as an investor that you have to work with our company. So I think we're going to start it off a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I've been with the company for just about 7 years. Have actually been in the private money industry for 15 years, which is very hard to believe. So I've been through the market downturns and the building back up from that. I'm also an active real estate investor. I've done a little bit of fixing and flipping myself, currently own a rental. So stay tuned. I'll let you know how it is to be a landlord. Not sure that that's in my strategy in the future, but we're going to give it a try. So I'm going to turn it over to Eric to tell him, tell you folks a little bit about himself.
Thanks, Heather. Yeah, my name is Eric Bergman. I am Investor Relations at Secured Investment Corp. My background is in private wealth management. I started my career off with a major Wall Street bank back in the early 2000s and migrated into private wealth management in Southern California. I have a lot of experience working with the capital markets and working with investors. My primary responsibility as an investor relations professional is to act as a liaison between our portfolio managers and the investment committee and our investors. And make sure that communication flows in both directions without impediment. So that's what I do, and I love it, and I'm glad to be here. So thanks for having me.
That's great. We're super excited to have Eric as part of our team. A little bit about my role with the company. As a director of funding, I also work with quite a few of our investors that are either deploying capital through our first trust deeds or also through our real estate equity funds. But in addition to that, I am also one of three managers that manage our real estate funds, everything from making decisions upon what assets we put on the fund, what we're going to do with strategies. We're very active in meeting when we're managing the fund. We meet every week. And we're always looking at different strategies, how the fund's performing, ways that we can add some other strategies into the fund asset classes to boost our yields. So
absolutely.
So I think we're going to get started. Eric's going to talk a little bit about a market overview, what's currently going on with the market. I think that's one of the big questions of the day.
Yeah, you know, wow, did we see one heck of a snapback rally in the first quarter this year. Everyone remembers what happened in December of last year. We took about a 15% hit in December. We've gotten all of that back in the first quarter plus some. To be exact, Dow Jones Industrial year to date 13.6, NASDAQ 19.8%, and the S&P 500 16.1%. So it's been one heck of a quarter, and which is interesting because I'm sure you guys have noticed the media kind of latching on to this looming recession and this negativity in the marketplace and the equities markets being overbought. And I think we're going to discuss here in more detail how much validity there is in that, and you know, whether or not you should be adjusting your portfolio or just staying put. So why don't we get into maybe talking about recession fears or kind of a macro economic viewpoints. In terms of recession fears, you know, the economy moves in two phases, right? There's expansion and then there's a contraction. This is perfectly normal. It's always been this way. It will always be this way. And thankfully, for our markets at least, roughly 70 to 80% of the time we're in an expansion period, and the remaining time we're in a contraction period. So what does this mean? You know, if the market is overbought and we are due for a correction, which I think we are at some point, if not this year, most definitely next year, prices are going to come back to more normalized levels, and it will give us an opportunity to acquire the same assets at a cheaper price. This is something that's very healthy for the markets, especially since, you know, we've been in an expansion period for over a decade. This is the longest bull market in United States history. So I definitely think we are due for a little bit of a pullback here. In terms of the inverted yield curve, you know, this has been getting a lot of attention. A couple weeks ago, our yield curve inverted. And what that means is the longer duration treasury, in this case, the 10-year treasury, the yield dropped below that of the 3-month treasury. This is very unusual. Last time it happened in 2007. And it historically has been an indicator to a possible recession on the horizon. And it's an indicator we take very seriously. The yield curve is no longer inverted at this point. In fact, I have it here. The 10-year treasury, the yield is 2.52. On the 3-month, we are 2.43. So you still are getting a little bit of premium for being longer on the yield curve. But typically the spread between those two treasuries is a lot wider than it is now. And for those listeners at home, a bond works like this. As the prices go up, the yield goes down. They have an inverse relationship both ways. Yield goes up, price goes down. Yield goes down, price goes up. So when a 3-month treasury is paying a higher yield than a 10-year treasury, that typically means something is going on and you should be paying attention. So with that, besides the inverted yield curve that we had a couple weeks ago, the other major components of the kind of economic cycle, if you will, has been very strong. And I think there are things in the economy, i.e. the trade deal with China, that could still lead us to positive momentum moving forward. So I wouldn't get all scared and in panic as of yet, but I would definitely be thinking about potentially taking some profits off the table if you're overweighted equities, and maybe moving some of that money into asset classes that are less overvalued, and just kind of rebalance the portfolio before you get stuck with a declining market. So that's my take on that. And Heather, I think we're going to talk a little bit about the topic for today is REITs. Real estate investment trusts versus private real estate funds. You want to lead us off with that?
Yeah, and I think that's great information that Eric just gave us about the market. In his past positions, I think he's been a little more in tune to the stock market, bonds, things of that nature. My background really comes in private money, whether that's through trust deeds or funds. And one of the things that I've seen, especially going through the 2007, 2008 market, was there is a lot of volatility in the stock market and things of that nature. But one of the things with real estate is you can always pivot, right? And I've talked to a lot of our current lenders about this. The fund's doing great. We have a real estate fund that historically has paid out annualized yields of 12%, which is amazing. But I think the reason it's been so successful for the last 5 to 6 years is that we've been able to pivot. We look at the strategies. We look at the types of assets we're putting in there. And because we're not a publicly traded company, we can make those decisions to change directions. And I think that is one of the things. And, our CEO is a big proponent of the fact that in a downturn market, there's huge opportunity in real estate. And we're excited for it. One of the asset classes that we put in the fund currently is real estate. In a downturn market, prices go down and there's a lot of opportunity to buy properties, at a lesser price than we normally would when the markets are great.
Right.
So, you have a little more insight on the REITs, so you might be able to speak to that.
Yeah. So, okay, the big difference, right? One's publicly traded, one's private. Okay, a real estate investment trust trades like a stock. You can buy it on the exchange. They settle daily. You can buy shares one day and you can sell the exact same shares the next day. The advantage of a REIT is the daily liquidity. Okay, so we know that. A lot of times in your private real estate funds, there's going to be a lockup period, at least to start, sometimes 12 months, sometimes 24, sometimes longer, depending on the investment committee strategy within that fund. So on the REIT side, there's a few things to be mindful of when thinking about investing in REITs. One of them is the fact that REITs typically have a high correlation to the equities market, right? Why? Because they trade side by side with stocks. So when an investor goes to sell shares in their portfolio, whether it be because of capitulation or they just have the need for a liquidity event, shares in REITs will be sold oftentimes right alongside shares of equities. So because of that, you're not getting true diversification if they are bought and sold in sequence with each other. Something to be mindful of. With REITs, a lot of them get very large in size, right? So if you're investing in a REIT because you're looking for value in the real estate sector, but this particular REIT, and this is a hypothetical obviously, has say $20 billion to put to work, sometimes it can be very difficult to provide alpha in a portfolio when you are looking to deploy that amount of assets, right? Which is a lot of times what these REITs do because they're so large is they acquire massive rentals. I'm talking huge apartment complexes. It's a buy and hold rental strategy. And some of those are successful and some of those aren't so successful. And the reason why they're not so successful is REITs have very stringent guidelines because they're publicly traded. And one of them is they have to distribute 90% of income to the investors. Well, that can give the portfolio managers liquidity issues. So in a downturn of a market, if they're fully deployed in illiquid investments and they're getting a lot of people selling shares, the portfolio managers are forced to sell off assets to create liquidity in that fund. And that can be a hamper on the performance. And another thing is a lot of these REIT managers, they're very focused on one strategy. There isn't any pivoting. So as market conditions evolve and change, which is completely normal, the portfolio managers tend to stay static in one strategy, and they're unwilling or unable to move into a different component. So also something to be mindful of, where in a private real estate fund that has less regulation and less mandate, you typically have more flexibility to pivot and change your strategy as things evolve in the marketplace. And that can be very beneficial in generating alpha. Also, if you're involved in a private equity fund, a real estate fund that isn't moving around an insane amount of assets, like 20 billion or 10 billion or just anything in the billions, a lot of times you can find more value at these lesser amounts of assets under management. So something to be think of. One is not better than the other necessarily. They function differently, and there's pluses and minuses to both of them. But you know, just be mindful of the difference between the two.
Great point. Our fund, and I'll speak a little bit, and I don't want to get too granular into the activities of the fund, but currently the fund generates revenue several different ways, one of which is originating first trust deeds. We currently are the main funding source for Coco Capital. And with those notes, we actually sell those notes off. So that is one of the opportunities that the fund has, is to actually sell the note off, retain its principal, and keep an interest spread. So although, you know, we may have $20 million, and I'm just throwing numbers out there, in a fund, we have the opportunity to possibly originate $60 million in a year. And it's that velocity of capital. The other opportunity that the fund takes advantage of is actually buying real estate assets. Currently, we are only in the Spokane market. We strongly believe in only being active in real estate assets in your backyard. That is where we are comfortable. That is where we have a contracting crew on staff that actually goes into these properties, gives us an idea of the scope of work, what it would cost to fix and flip it. Sometimes we wholesale them. Sometimes they're very quick turns. We buy them. We may sell them in 2 weeks, you know, and yield 30% on our money. Sometimes we feel like there's a better opportunity to actually go and rehab them and sell them. So we're always strategizing that way, but those are actually real estate assets that are in our own backyard. And even the notes, you know, currently right now, they are very short term, no more than 24 months. But as the market changes, and I've had a lot of lenders ask us, you know, what are you guys going to do when the market changes? Those are shifts we're going to have to make. I think what you're probably going to see is more of a buy and hold strategy. People that are actually buying these properties on the cheap to rent them out. I know that the rental market is really hot right now. And so I think those are ways that as a fund manager, we're going to be able to pivot, maybe do longer term notes. We have a big appetite from our one-off lenders that buy our notes for longer term. So I don't think that there's any concern with being able to sell those types of notes. But you know, these are all the types of things as fund managers that we're constantly looking at to see what's going to be the most beneficial for the fund, and get our yields up and keep them up.
And let's touch on the misnomer that private equity funds are high risk, right? High risk, high return. We're trying to hit a home run, make four, five, six times your money, or whatever the case is. All private equity funds are not created equal. So for our listeners at home that hear the word private equity funds and immediately think risky, 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 we as a private equity fund manager are actually quite averse to risk. And that is evident by our strategy to originate short-term debt instruments. And then we immediately sell those instruments off to our institutional partners. This is a very unique strategy. Obviously, when you originate a mortgage, you are going to have default risk in that note. And if you hold it till maturity, you're holding that default risk the entire way. Our strategy is to originate the note and then sell off the note and sell off the default risk with it at an interest rate spread, creating alpha in the portfolio while simultaneously shedding risk. Okay, and also on the hard asset side of the portfolio where we fix and flip, we purchase these houses at massive discounts. So even if the market was to shift on us in a very quick nature, which we don't think it's going to, we have plenty of safety in these positions to where we feel comfortable that we wouldn't be taking on any losses in the portfolio. So I just wanted to touch on that because I feel like the word private equity sometimes can be scary. Yeah. And it's not always scary.
No, I think that's a great point. I think one other thing that I'd like to point out is for those of you folks that don't know who we are and our company, one of the things that I think really sets us aside is we have a very broad reach. Not only are we a private money company and a fund manager, but we're also an educational company. We put on events, 5 to 6 times a month. And these are events, everything from the real estate investor that's brand new to it, to someone that's a little more sophisticated, that's just trying to sharpen their tools and their shed. And because of that, we have the ability to pivot and change direction with whether it's properties, notes that go into default. There has been many times, for those of you that are aware, we actually service all the notes. So we have a pulse on exactly what's going on with all of these notes that we have originated. We know who's paying, who's not paying. We've been able to interject with borrowers that have gotten into trouble and partnered them up with a student that's in the same city or state that they're in and help them out. And I think that's an attestment to, our default rate, which is extremely low. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there's not ever a problem. There's risk in everything, right? However, we have the ability to interject, help people out, help our borrowers actually become successful in the event that they get in over their head. Mm-hmm. That's not our intention, but it is something that sets us aside. And we see these notes to the end. We're not the lender that's just originating, selling these notes off and wishing the end lender, whether it's an institutional note buyer or a one-off lender, good luck with it. We actually service it. We'll help them through foreclosure mitigation if they need to, and then also up to liquidation of the REO. So we're a one-stop shop. We preach the circle of wealth. This is our motto as a company. We get more of what we want by helping others get more of what they want. And we hope that everybody comes into our circle of wealth at some point, whether they're brand new to real estate investing or they've done it before and they're looking for a passive way to actually deploy their capital. It's our goal for everybody to come into that circle of wealth and leave an accredited investor.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback off what Heather is saying, and as we conclude here, for those listeners at home who have relationships with their financial advisor and these large portfolios primarily invested in equities, Heather and I, and as a firm, we're not looking to replace relationships with financial advisors. We're not financial advisors. We do not have an advisory practice here. That is not what we do. We are a phenomenal component to the overall portfolio. We don't need to be the portfolio, but if you're looking for true diversification with an asset class that does not correlate to equities, and now is a perfect time to call us. We would love to talk to you about that because the equities markets are struggling to find new highs. We've been very range bound within a certain price, range, if you will. And now's a great time to rebalance the portfolio. And we would be glad to help you with that if you give us a call.
Yeah, absolutely. For those of you at home, if you want to reach Eric or I, you can call 800-898-898. 2717. You can also make sure you visit our website at securedinvestmentcorp.com. There is a lot of information on that website about our funds, also about our notes. We actually put all of our notes that are for sale up on the website, so you can get more information about that. And then one last thing, we have a local event coming up in Spokane. So for those of you folks that are looking to get more information about opportunities to deploy capital and you're in our local market, whether that's Coeur d'Alene, Idaho or Spokane, we are putting on an amazing event May 16th at the Davenport Grand Hotel, which will include dinner and myself and Eric. And then also we will have Lee Arnold there, our CEO. So we would love to have you attend that event. So if you have interest in that, make sure you get a hold of Eric or I. It is limited seating. It's filling up quick. Again, it's May 16th in Spokane, Washington at the Davenport Grand.
Hope to see you there.